I don't make God's word powerful. It is already powerful. I don't have a message. He has the message. And I'm just declaring the message to you. Yes, there are boundaries. It's the living word of God. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Amen? Oh, that's important.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for joining us today. Pastor Bill is currently teaching an in-depth study from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy. Pastor continues the study today with the message entitled, How to Live in Latter Times. Now, Pastor Bill.
1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6 in just a moment. This morning, I want to continue from the last week and talk about latter days, but not just the latter days or the latter times, but how do we live in the latter days? How does that happen? Remember that Paul has told Timothy to remain in Ephesus, and that he is in the process, literally, of rebuilding one of the great churches of the New Testament. And as he is there, he has been commanded to remove the false teachers, the some that are going around causing all the dissension, and they're teaching myths and fables and genealogies and so forth. And he reinstates prayer, and he also commands that the women, that they be taught the word of God, not neglected, give them their rightful place. And also that he was to reestablish godly leadership, because the leadership had fallen apart at Ephesus. They were no longer bringing correction to the false teachers who were teaching. And then Paul does something. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and 2 and following, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, the Holy Spirit has expressly said, he said that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. And listen to the reason, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen? So they were leading these believers away to make disciples after themselves. In other words, their own identity, stealing their identity, which who they were in Christ Jesus. And they were falling away, and they were departing from the faith willfully and purposely, if you will. This morning, as we look at our text, we have to ask ourselves this question. We know that latter times, we are still in latter times. Amen? So we know that the doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits, and so forth, have they ceased? No, they haven't ceased at all. So how do we live in 2022? How do we live today and be able to discern the things that are happening, especially with the false doctrine? Well, listen, Paul gives Timothy the answer in the verses we're going to cover, and he gives us the answer as well. Now, just because all of these commands, and there's many commands that are given to Timothy are centered around Timothy, that doesn't mean they're not centered around you and me. Amen? Yeah, because we're servants, we're Christians as well. And so we want to make sure that we too, what we hear this morning from the Word of God, we embrace in our lives as well. So from verses 6 to 16, in a moment, when I get to verse 6, Paul's going to give Timothy and every Christian what is needed to stand against false teaching. Now listen, you know this and I know this. We have to know the truth of the Bible. Amen? There's no exception there. Jesus said about God's word, his Father's word, he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So we not only have to believe the Bible, we have to know the Bible, trust the word of God. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in John 8:31, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then my life scripture. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But just knowing the truth doesn't make you free. It's the truth that you know, the truth that you believe, and then you apply that to your life and you walk in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? We have to know the truth. We must know the truth, and we must stand on the truth today with the things that we are facing in the world that we live in. So how do we live in latter times, beginning in verse 6? It says, Paul says to Timothy, he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now listen, how do I know that all these commands are really just not just for Timothy, but for us? Did you notice what Paul called Timothy? He didn't say Pastor Timothy, did he? Matter of fact, he said, oh, Timothy, you're a minister, and he is a minister. We're all ministers of Christ. Amen? We're all ambassadors for Christ. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. But the word that he used for minister is diakonos. We get our word a servant, deacon, or whatever. So he's saying, Timothy, you be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we called to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely, and that's so important. So he says, Timothy, I sent you to Ephesus, and here's what you have to do. You have to instruct the brethren, and that means sisters too, okay? So you have to instruct the brethren in these things. What things? The things that we covered last Sunday, verses 1 through 5, about the deceiving spirits, the doctrines of devils, and so forth. They haven't departed. They're just as real then as they are today, amen? Now, so he says, you be a good servant of Jesus. And the way that you do that, Timothy, you instruct the brethren. In other words, you warn them, because you're here to feed the sheep, not fleece the sheep. And so that's what Paul was telling Timothy to do. Now listen to me. No believer, no pastor can ever give out what they have not taken in. Does that make sense? Meaning you have to know the Word of God. That's why Paul told Timothy, he says, if you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, look what he says. Nourished in the words of faith, or words of the faith, and the good doctrine which you have, that's past tense, which you have carefully followed, meaning what Paul had taught him when Paul discipled Timothy in the Word of God and so forth. Now listen, what was the source of Timothy's nourishment? The Word of God. Solid doctrine. Well, that is the same nourishment that you and I, we have to have. Let me tell you something. Whenever a person, a pastor, a seminary, when they get the gospel of Christ wrong, everything else is wrong. Do you understand that? Listen, everything in the Bible hinges on the gospel. Everything. When you get home later, read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Listen, the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Oh, that's how dead men, spiritually dead people, become live, new creations in Christ, is the good news, believing the good news. So he said, you have to be nourished in that. And Christian, listen, in the day that we live in, you are surrounded by false nourishment. You can turn on Christian TV and get a lot of false nourishment. Did you know that? I'm not being critical. I'm warning you. And that's a good pastor that does that. Amen? Yeah. Listen, you want to know what's being said. Don't just take whatever somebody says and say, oh, that's the truth. No, listen, you have to be just like Timothy. You have to nourish yourselves. What would happen if you didn't eat for a couple of days? Huh? You'd be starving, wouldn't you? Well, that's the way it should be with the Word of God. Man, we need to feast upon the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We have to eat right, and we have to do so daily. And that is the only way in latter times that we live in, that you'll be able to discern the true from the false, talking about false teaching. And that's what we're learning about this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and here it comes, feed on His faithfulness. If you feed on the faithfulness of God, if you feed on the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what happens. You will know the truth. And you'll know when a lie comes to you. Did you know that? Amen? And if you don't know your Bibles, if you don't truly become a student of Scripture, loved one, here's what you can expect and you need to prepare for right now. And that is Ephesians 4:14, where it says, like children being tossed to and fro with every wind or every gust of doctrine. False teachers love immature believers who they're saved, but they've never opened their Bibles. They've never gotten into the Word of God. They're not hungry for the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is what fills us. Amen? Oh, listen, that's how we're changed in our hearts and our minds. So what do we have to do? Verse 7 tells us we have to not only nourish ourselves in the Word of God, and when you do that, you'll be able to reject that which contradicts sound doctrine. Look at verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables. Now, ladies, listen carefully. That's not being critical of older women, okay? I want you to know that so I can continue. But reject is a command. In other words, Timothy, stay away from, put them out of your mind. Don't even listen to them. Why? He uses a word. He says, reject profane. That's ungodly, that's dirty, that's unclean, if you will, and these worthless, silly myths and all the rest of it. So it says these old wives' tales, you know, and I, you know, like I told the early service, you know, I don't know, you've heard, you know what I'm about old wives' tales, you know, you've heard the saying, if you play with frogs, you're going to get a wart on your fingers. That's not true. Is it, Mario? No. No. Or if you pull out one gray hair, two's going to grow back in, and that's not true. Do you? Never mind. I don't even want to go there. But here's what it is. You have to reject that, because if you believe false teaching, then you're going to have false thinking. Does that make sense? Not only that, false thinking applied leads to false living. Not only that, you cannot reject. A believer cannot reject unless you know and you study and trust in the Holy Word of God. So look at it, it says, how do we do that? It says to keep yourself spiritually fit. Look at it. And exercise yourself toward what? Godliness. That word exercise, we get our English word gymnastics and gymnasium. In other words, it's a metaphor for an athlete. Like you know, we work out and we work hard to, and you build up your muscles and all of that kind of stuff. You know, listen, you know, do you have a spiritual gym at home? I know some of you probably have a gym. You know, you walk into your little room, there's your treadmill and those weights, or maybe you have, what's that one called? Bowflex. That was a word for prophecy. No, Bowflex. You know how they lay out those, you got 10 pounds or whatnot. I have those in my workout room. I have a shirt on this one and I have my belt hanging on. Oh yeah, look at those, huh? Now my wife, she gets on that stuff, you know, because she's disciplined. But I just don't care anymore. I mean, it's all right. It's. What verse am I on? Oh, do you have a spiritual gym? Well, here's the problem. Only you can make that happen in your house. Only you can do this. No one's going to wake you up and say, hey, Billy, get out of the bed. It's time for you to go into your closet. For now it's time to pray and study and read the Word of God and so forth. You have to do that. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Amen? It's something that you have to do. And you know, you have to train your body. Just like you train your body, you have to do the same thing with your spiritual life. Listen, you have two forms of diet for the believer. Okay, you have earthly food, you have heavenly food. Amen? And heavenly food is the Word of the living God. Either your mind right now, believer, is being transformed or it's being conformed to the world. There's only two kinds of minds in the entire world. The mind that is conformed to the things of this world, squeezed into the mold, think like the world, act like the world, look like the world, or a mind that is being transformed, being renewed by the living Word of God. And that's what we are. That's who we are. So you need to say, God, what is the daily workout plan? Because see, spiritual growth and godliness, do you think that's automatic? No, you grow into that. And just like, you know, when I used to work out, and you know how you build up? Do you have repetition? Okay, so you're doing so many reps, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, the first couple, then it hurts and you have a lot of pain, and then you start looking in the mirror and flexing and, you know, all that kind of, and you're getting to say, man, I'm looking good. Well, listen, a godly habit is important. You need to get out of bed. You need to go into your closet, like I said earlier. You need to pray and you need to study the Word of God. That's so important. And guess what? You need to come to church. You know, Wednesdays, I was talking early service, I said, you know, Wednesdays, years ago, Wednesday night was full. And then slowly, Wednesday night is no longer an important night. And a lot of churches don't even have Wednesday night services anymore because nobody comes. But it's important if you have that opportunity. Be in church to hear the word, amen? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, amen? And hearing the word of God. So if you're in God's gym, if we can bring this up to, okay, then you have a goal. It's not building up your biceps, it's building your life toward godliness. In other words, you have the greatest instructor in the world, the Holy Spirit. You have the greatest instructor manual, which is the Word of God. Amen? And boy, when you do that, things happen. You know, there are no shortcuts. People say, well, if you go to this seminar, you go to this conference, you know, you're going to da-da-da-da-da. There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to always apply what you learn. Amen? See, there's not any shortcuts. You will stay spiritually flabby, if you will. You know what I'm saying? You're going to stay that way unless you exercise yourself toward godliness. So what does that mean? You have to keep yourself spiritually fit in the days that we're living in. You don't think Timothy didn't have to do that? I guarantee you he did. Just every believer has to do that. Look at the verse there in verse 8. For bodily exercise, it profits how much? Okay, and it does. It profits just a little bit. But godliness is profitable for all things, whether you go down to the gym or not, amen? It's profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying. In other words, trustworthy. You can count on it and worthy of all acceptance. Listen, physical exercise is a wonderful thing. I like to walk. You know when I get more exercise? I love to mow my yard. You know what I'm saying? I take nearly 14,000 steps when I do my yard. And then when it's all said and done, I fall over and collapse, all right? And when I wake up, I feel good, you know. It sounded like nacho. I feel good, you know. Help me, Lord. No, listen, it's okay to want to work out. It's a wonderful thing, but today it's almost an idol, isn't it? What's the purpose of looking good, really cool, or whatever, macho on the outside, but on the inside, you're falling apart. On the inside, you're troubled. On the inside, you're hurting. I mean, we can all look good out here. The makeup, you know, or whatever, and whatever a man does, a woman does, you know, and give a false appearance. It's the inside that counts, amen? And that's what is so important. See, no physical exercise on earth can make you godly. None. And you know what? It profits just a little bit, but boy, we have a promise that God, not only does it profit us in this life now, but in the life to come. Amen? You see, the body, you can train your body, you can work out your body, no matter what you do. I mean, you can pump weights all of your life, you can drink every known vitamin, it doesn't matter. Your body is going to die, and your spirit goes on for eternity. Yes, look at verse 10 with me. For to this end, Paul says, he concludes himself, Timothy, we both labor, and we could even say, and we both suffer reproach. And look at the reason. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things, meaning verses 1 through 10, these things command and teach. It's literally keep on teaching and keep on commanding them. Now, in verse 10 through 16, though, we have 10 commands or 10 imperatives, if you will. So Paul, again, he says, for this reason, for this end, we both labor, we strive, we agonize. He's talking about striving to be a godly person, to live a godly life. He says the reason is because we trust. We trust in the living God. That word really that we hope in the living God. We don't hope or trust in self. We hope in the living God. And look what it says, who is the Savior of all men. Now, that title is very important because a false doctrine has come out of that called universalism that teaches that, see, God is the Savior of all men, regardless whether they believe or not. Ultimately, every person is going to be saved. That's a false doctrine, loved one. Now, did you notice who is going to be saved, that it was narrowed down just to a select bunch? It says there, only those who believe will be saved. See, God wants everyone saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, there's only one mediator between God and man, but man Christ Jesus, okay? But the thing is, does everyone want to be saved? No. The problem is, like Jesus said in John 5:40, he says, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. So you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the Savior of all people if they will believe. Amen? Amen. Now, he says, Timothy, let no one despise your youth. The word despise means look down upon or lift your nose up or whatever. Don't let anyone look down upon you because you are a young man. And so the word youth there in the Greek is netos, I think, or something close to that. I can't remember. Doesn't really matter. But it does mean, it has a specific meaning in the Greek. It's used for those in military service and who the age, the cutoff of serving was 40 years old. So we know that Timothy was under 40 years of age. He was probably about 30, okay? He was a young man. Paul says, listen, don't do that, Timothy. Don't let anyone despise your youth. But the question is, how in the world could Timothy stop other people in Ephesus from doing that? Well, here's what Paul says. Look at it. He says, don't worry about that, Timothy. He says, but be an example to the believers. So what is he saying? He says, Timothy, listen to me. Age is not important. Age is a number. Amen? He says, but you be an example. That word is pattern or model. It's a picture of someone with a hammer striking an image to make an imprint. He says, you be the perfect example, if you will, to all the believers and everyone else. And you know what? There's power in example. Amen? But the thing is, an example can't make you godly. You have to live that life. So Timothy, he says here, listen, you be an example to all the believers, and we should be as well. But there's only one example to follow, and his name is Jesus, isn't it? 1 John 2:6, he who says that he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. In the upper room in John's Gospel, chapter 13, remember what Jesus said. He says, do you know what I've done unto you? After he washed their feet, he says, I have left you an example that as I have done, you do to one another. There's only one example, and that is Jesus Christ. And the reason that Paul has done this, these examples, he's going to give us six ways to be an example, is because to refute the false teachers and the way they were living. Watch what he does here in verse 12. He says, Timothy, I want you to be an example in word. Isn't that important, what comes out of our mouth? Come on. I mean, really, our speech, our everyday speech and so forth. You know, sometimes we should pray, Jesus, please be the Lord of my lips. You know, and the stuff that comes out of our hearts. Matthew 12:34, Jesus told us, says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's an accurate gauge of what's in someone's heart. He says, Timothy, you be an example in speech, be an example here in conduct. In other words, our daily lifestyle. He says, be an example in love. Boy, that's so important, the love walk. Does that pertain to us? Of course it does. Ephesians 5:1, be ye imitators of God as dear children, walking in love as Christ has loved you and forgiven us and gave himself for us, that sweet aroma and so forth. Now listen, we're to walk in love. Matter of fact, what is our vision? One of our vision scriptures for this church here, John 13:34-35, the new commandment that we love one another as Christ loved us. And so you walk in love, that agape. He says, and in spirit. That's talking about your attitude, Timothy, our attitude. In other words, what attitude are we to have? Only one. Philippians 2:5, a command, by the way. Let this mind, meaning Jesus, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then he says a very important word, in faith. Now, I'm going to come back to that word at the end of this message, okay? Let's go to the next one, purity, that moral purity. And then he says in verse 13, till I come, I want you to do three things. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and that means to teaching. So when he says give attention, he's saying, Timothy, immerse yourself, devote yourself, man, into the Word.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this broadcast, But Pastor Bill will conclude this message on our program tomorrow. So please join us again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.